Welcome, welcome everyone who has shown up. If you are hearing my voice, you are probably listening to 104.5 FM WRFU. If you are seeing my face, you're probably here in the Zoom with us. And then welcome for that. So for those of you who might have somehow stumbled upon hearing me by accident, this is Sounds Like Community, which is running, I believe, at this point, twice a month on Wednesdays at about 7 p.m., and the first Monday, the first Wednesday of 3 months in a row, we have the wonderful privilege of of presenting Imagining Freedom, Plotting Liberation Part One today, with a wonderful panel and moderators, and talking about screenwriting and filmmaking for a reimagining of the world. Everything I love about the possibilities of filmmaking. But before we get to that, if you are seeing a lot of my face and no other faces, you're probably watching the Zoom in speaker mode. If you want that whole Brady Bunch, Hollywood Squares, some other reference that part of the people presenting probably don't recognize, you can look at it in gallery view. Also, there's a text chat. So you can whisper to each other privately that, oh, Karthik's talking too long, or, oh, what a wonderful presenter Karthik is, or, oh, Steph Posey is one of my favorite people. That's what I'm going to be saying in the side chat. Or ask questions to everyone, because I will forward along anything you say for later. And, yeah, because we are going to make sure to mute your mics, unless you're one of the participants, just so we can hear our wonderful people out there at the IMC as clearly as possible. Also, we have sponsors. It's always nice to have sponsors. We have, let me double check that, we are sponsored by the University of Illinois Data Clinic today. We also are sponsored by Community Shares of Illinois. We are a proud member of the Community Shares of Illinois. Community Shares members, change minds, change laws, and change lives. Gotta let some more people in. It's a wonderful problem to have where I'm trying to pay attention to everything going on, and yet I'm letting in all these people who are so thrilled to be watching and listening tonight. Steph, how are you doing?
I'm doing great. Thanks so much, Karthik. All right, bye-bye.
Take it away.
Peace, everybody. I am Posey. Thank you so much for being here today to our very first Imagining Freedom Plot and Liberation series. Feel free to clap right there if you want. Yes. Great, great. So Imagining Freedom is a critical filmmaking, screenwriting
unmute
project.
We started
maybe 8 weeks ago now.
Brand new.
We're really here to reimagine differently about the world that we live in, how to build bridges, how to really show up for each other in a cool way.
We do have some opportunities coming up that we'll talk about a little later, due to time, but it's going to move on. I'm going to introduce Saba, and then from here on out, you're going to be hearing from young people from Champaign, Illinois, or Urbana, Illinois. Saba is an amazing, aspiring artist that intersects her passion for art with the continuing revolution in freedom struggle. She seeks to help people visualize new realities that contribute to the collective healing of the world. Introducing the panel.
Hi. I want to thank y'all for joining us tonight for this session of our Plotting Liberation series. First of all, I would like to say welcome to our safe space. We have worked really hard to make this space feel safe for all of us. And when we started meeting, we all agreed to a set of ground rules that we would follow to make sure everybody felt secure and heard. So those ground rules were first to be open-minded and to hear new ideas and perspectives. To be creative, to be grateful, responsive, maintain confidentiality, and patience, and have attention and maintain an open ear. Second of all, I would like to say that we're not attacking the principles. We're attacking the people, sorry. And what I mean by that is that we're trying to confront ideologies and strategies that center domination, and not attacking people. We're helping people unlearn negative patterns, and also remember that no questions are stupid. So first, we have Michael. He is not a stereotype. He is an ambitious young black male that will not settle. He is currently attending UHS and is inventing new ways of change with youth at the Urbana Neighborhood Connection Center. Then we have Aaliyah, who attends Champaign Central High School. She is a loving and friendly individual aspiring to bring truth and peace to the world. And then next we have Stephanie, who goes to Champaign Central High School and is a smart individual that enjoys reading, and she hopes to be a lawyer. So, our first question today is, what are some expectations you have for parents?
I think parents should focus more on their mental health, because I know a lot of adults in my life, they don't really focus on mental health, or they don't even know what mental health is.
And that's not a good thing.
Yeah, mental health is phenomenally a big problem, going to work, a lot of problems at work, not bringing that home.
So just taking care of yourself, that's very important.
A lot of the problems that happen between parents and children in households are due to mental health issues because parents don't know that they might be lashing out because of their mental state, and they lash out at their child, and then it's a big argument, and we really want to try to stop that, and we want to make sure that children and their parents are getting along and communicating and helping out.
Yeah, you have to remember that parents don't maintain a good mental health, then their kids won't have any representation of what it looks like to maintain a good mental health. And also I want to say that mental health is similar to any other kind of health, so if you don't maintain it, you're not going to have healthy, you have to pay specific attention to maintaining your mental health, or else you're not going to have mentally healthy, and then your kid is going to grow up in an environment that doesn't value maintaining good mental health. And then what will they want to do, have children, and also make the same mistakes? So you want to make sure that you're giving them a good example.
Parents should parent from a place of love and not fear. Because fear is where like you make a mistake. And like, because some people, like my parents, she's scared of what might happen to me. But anything can happen, this is life.
Yeah, I think that's a really good point. I think parenting from a place of love and not fear is really important. But we have to remember that if we parent our children out of a place of fear, we're just going to keep making mistakes, like Aaliyah said. And also, another thing that I would want parents to know is that they need to trust themselves at the end of the day. Do you guys have anything else? Communicate in a way that's more open instead of just saying, well, I'm the parent, you do what I say, blah, blah, blah.
And to add to what Aaliyah said about communicating and actually talking it out instead of directing or ordering your child to do a certain thing. A lot of children end up resenting their parents because of that. Sometimes you don't really realize that you start resenting your parents because personally I've had that issue also where it's like, I can't tell you anything because anytime I do, I'm either dismissed or
I can't just discuss something with you calmly, us having a good conversation. It's always either an argument or it ends up being you directing the order towards me, stop feeling that way, or then I'm wrong to feel that way.
And it's really hard
on me and on, you know, other children that might be possibly going through the same thing, because
you want to be able to talk to your parents as their best friend.
And like, you know, sometimes you see other kids your age having that healthy relationship with their parents, and it's really hard to, like, you know, say, dang, I don't have that. I can't just talk to my parents. It's always an argument that breaks out, or it's always gaslighting or like something like that. And it's really unhealthy, not only for the child, but also for the parent. Because you start, as a child, you start thinking, well, now when I get older, I'll just break myself off. Obviously, I'm not being hurt.
I think it's really important to communicate in an open way, especially if you want your child to be open with you. You can't expect openness if you're not open with your child. And also, like, if you want to be able to trust your child, you have to be trustworthy for them. Like, you have to be a safe space for them.
Working at the center with fourth and fifth graders. I learned a lot. I just want to contact someone, things like that. You can't have pessimism going into what the youth are trying to tell you because you're older, you have that mind, and you're willing to be able to learn.
I'm reading a book right now by Octavia Butler, and I wanted to comment on what Michael said about learning from children, because that's also really important aspect of parenting, and also just an important aspect of life, like really learning from everybody that you meet, especially children, I would say. And so, Octavia's book, one of her quotes is that everything that you touch changes, and everything that you change changes you. So keeping that in mind, and just always understanding that you have a lot to learn from your children. So just know that. Okay, is everybody done with our second question? So our second question is, how can parent support or development consensual?
Consent is something we've all talked a lot about. I think that when we say support your child, we don't just mean as like just regular support, like doing the bare minimum. We mean emotionally, physically, and mentally. Because a lot of the times people tend to just take support as being like, I was physically there with you, and I provided you with what you needed, but sometimes people need that mental support, like, you know, they need to make them feel that you were there for them. Because sometimes people ask for things that doesn't actually help them, and some parents tend to think that, you know, I was there for my child, I gave them what they needed, and that's me supporting them. But personally, as a child, I want my parents to be there for me mentally and emotionally, because of our different age and generation, it's really hard to do that because they don't necessarily value mental health as much as I do. Or they don't necessarily know about mental health as much as I do, so it's hard to do that. And you just want to let people know that it's okay. And we want to let parents know that please try to learn about mental health so that you're there for your child. And like, you know, you see the signs of mental illness, because some people go through that without letting their parents know. And it's really hard to go through that and not be able to tell someone that you're living about it.
Yeah, I would say that. Is my mic working? Can y'all hear me? Yeah, I just want to say that consent is kind of like a key value that I live my life around. And that's kind of like the case where I would say a lot of my generation. We're all learning about consent as a ground rule in our daily life, and yet this concept is relatively new. Like older generations, a lot of them haven't really learned or understood the concept of consent. And so, I just wanted to highlight that it's something really important to learn about and teach your kids at a young age, not only about consent around sex, but also consent in your daily life. Like consent is everywhere, and you have to make sure that you teach your kids about it early on.
Don't label us, like, as bad, or don't say, oh, you're bad, because you're just gonna, you're gonna let them on, or you're gonna make terminology such as bad or derogatory, because you're making categories that have negative connotations with them.
You're not really doing anything. Like, okay, here's the student that, let's say, hitting another student, instead of saying, why don't we try to talk with this student and wonder why that's the first thing they go to, because violence really happens when there's no other type of communication present. So if we can't figure out another way to communicate, then we're going to go to violence.
And sometimes when we get to that point where we get violent, it's because we feel unheard, and it's really hard for our parents to see it as us acting out, like, you know, just adults in general, like that child is bad, he's bad, or she's bad, because you don't know what's going on, you see it as bad because you don't know the inside of the problem, you don't know the root.
And what we're trying to say is basically find out what the actual issue is before assuming that someone's bad or good, because you never know what's going on. Eric Thomas, when he says you come to expose to, so that's especially for a younger generation, so they're at home and they don't see, they don't, their parents or guardians or whatever, talk, they instead use violence to solve problems, then they're probably going to use that.
Yeah, I wanted to bring a personal experience to the table. I was babysitting some kids the other day, and there was a moment where one of them resorted to violence to solve one of their problems. And so I tried to have a conversation with them, but it's hard to have a conversation with a kid about why they should turn to violence when violence is the answer at home. So remembering to not contradict yourselves in your parenting.
Yeah, just like using consent again, all back to consent. And you can't expect your kids to be perfect either. You have to give them like second chances, and also what y'all were saying about boxing kids in, like if a kid hears something over and over again, like, oh, they're bad, best believe they're gonna do things that they think are bad in the future, like if they hear that over and over again, it's so hard to break out of that box. And yeah, like stereotyping a kid, like that's literally the foundation of racism, like we're literally teaching our kids the same thing that the world is teaching us, that we don't want for our children, so like we have to make sure that we're teaching kids something different than what they're going to be learning in the real world. Another thing that I wanted to bring up is the fact of comparison between one child and another.
That is very hard, being a child that has been compared to many different people, family members, other students in class,
It's very difficult to go through your daily life when you're continuously told that someone else is better than you and you have to get to their level. And it's really hard living with that seeing that adults think the same way. They start looking at you differently because they think that person is better than you because they think differently and it's like nerve-wracking. You can't say anything because if you say anything, your words are lashing out because you're not as good or you're not the greatest and they're better. But it's really hard to you know, live and be in an environment where you're continuously told that you're not good enough. Or you need to be like that person.
For example, sometimes I've been told you need to be more like your friend. She studies more. She has A's. And when you're trying your best, that's very difficult because you have things going on in your life, or you have you just have shortcomings that they might not have, which means that you have to work harder. People don't realize that. They tend to just compare without acknowledging how much effort each person is putting in.
Yeah, and I just want to add, so yeah, that friend you're comparing me to, behind closed doors, their parent is actually there. studying with them. So I want to quote Curtis James Jackson III, 50 Cent, when he says, comfort is a dream killer. It saps our ambition, blinds our vision, promotes complacency. So being contented where you are and or where your child is, and instead of putting an effort to help them, you compare them, you're not doing anything either. You have to also help. You cannot be comfortable with where they are and what you're doing, because like I said, you become what you are exposed to. So if my parent isn't doing anything, you know what? I'm not going to do nothing. So, yeah.
I just wanted to say also, like, comparing your kid to another kid is just going to make them compare themselves to other kids. And, like, at the end of the day, you don't want your children comparing themselves to other kids, especially because, like, media is already teaching them to compare themselves to other people and, like, not and think of themselves as less than, especially if they're black or brown or like non-white in general, like they're already comparing themselves and it's not doing anything good for them. So like you don't want to add on to that negative aspect of growing up where you're different from like the norm. Yeah, you guys have anything else? You're good? Okay, so our third question is, what do you want parents and adults to know about our generation? So this is a big question.
Don't invalidate our feelings just because we're younger. Just because we're younger doesn't mean that we're less knowledgeable. Yeah,
I guess I want to go off of that. I wanted to say that, like, our generation knows things that generations before us never, like, they never came to the same conclusions that we came to. And I want to also, like, make sure that everybody knows I'm not saying that we, like, disrespect our older generations. Like, I know that I have a lot to learn from my ancestors, but, like, the people that came before me also have a lot to learn from us. Like, we all have a lot to learn from each other. So, yeah, making sure that it's, like, going both ways instead of just directly downwards, like, instead of, like, literally going back to hierarchy once again, we should, like, try to make sure that we're all learning from each other because, like, everybody has different perspectives.
And we want to have good relationships with adults and parents, but, like, domination is in the way, like, like, basically saying parents are superior just because they're older.
Yeah, it's like a bicycle, you know. If both the wheels on the bicycle aren't turning at the same pace, it's not going to move very fast. If you have one on the front moving fast, but the other is slowly running, it's not going to be in sync.
Yeah. Yeah, also just making sure to not invalidate anybody's feelings. Not invalidating feelings. It's really important to just respect people's feelings, and also just like the only way to cultivate emotional intelligence in your child is to
like, make sure that feelings are validated and that, like, all emotions are okay and respected and understood. It's not, no emotion is negative, it's just how you move with the emotion.
I think that adding to what you guys were saying, our generation is not stupid, because a lot of the times we're labeled with that word from the older generation because they think they know more, because they have experienced more of life. But the thing is, it doesn't matter how much of life you experienced, it matters what you got from each situation that you've been in. And even though the older generation doesn't see what we go through certain things that they probably didn't necessarily go through, or maybe they did and they just weren't as knowledgeable about certain things that we are of now. And it's very difficult to just have that happen, whereas in like you're trying to explain your perspective and a person just keeps blocking what you're saying or dodging everything that you're talking about. You're not right. I know more than you. I lived longer, so of course I would know more. That decision is gonna get you there. Also understand that maybe you made a decision and the actions that preceded led to what happened in the end. We might not do the same thing. So understand that we might not necessarily make the same mistake. So instead of saying, don't do it, advise us on and tell us what you did wrong. And then we can learn and make it better and improve what you did so that we don't end up with the same outcome.
Yeah, I think that's a really good point. I see a lot of parents kind of not being open about their past because they don't want their kids to make the same mistake, when in reality it's better to be open about the mistakes you made so that your kids won't make the same ones. So that's a really good point. Also, compassion is difficult when domination is in the picture. Understanding once again that if you're like dominating the generation under you, like, no one's, like, the respect isn't gonna go both ways if, like, respect isn't coming from one direction. So just making sure that respect is always there.
Okay, then we're done. That was the last question.
Another round of applause. You are amazing. I want you all to stay encouraged. I want us all as parents to stay encouraged. I am proud of you. I'm proud of this group. I'm so impressed by you. My name is Brandy. I am one of the facilitators with Imagine Freedom. And I am also a program coordinator at YWCA Strive Program. What this program has done for me as a facilitator, as the elder of the group, is they taught me how in the future to be a better parent. I notice what I do wrong. And sometimes I leave and I'm just, first of all, I'm looking up words. They're saying words I can't even pronounce. But they teach me how to look within myself, the issues I had growing up, and make sure that I don't make not necessarily mistakes, but I don't bring in trauma from my childhood to now. And I just want to thank you all personally. And the last thing, I got to point out Michael. Michael works with my son at Neighborhood Connection, and I hear his name so much, I feel like one of my kids' name is Michael. This young man is going to change the world. You are so positive. You are the epitome of what a strong Black man is and what will be. So I just want to just give a shout out just to you for thank you for working with my son. And I hope my son is a third of what he is. And to his mom, I just realized you were here. So next I'd like to introduce Taylor Blackwell. I'm impressed with Taylor because she's doing what I set out to do and dropped out of college because I couldn't do it. Taylor is enrolled at Parkland College. She's a liberal arts and science major. And she is a published journalist. and she is going to move mountains when she gets older. I want you all to remember this name. You will hear it again. That is Taylor Blackwell. Thank you, Brandy. One thing that I really admire about Brandy is that she is admitting and reflecting on her mistakes and what she has done as a parent. And so that's really what it's all about when it comes to learning, being able to swallow your pride and move forward. So I hope everyone's having a great evening. And so now we're gonna split the crowd into three sets. The online one. Okay, yes. Okay, so as Brandy said, I'm a co-mistress, and hopefully I will be transferring to Spelman in the fall. Yes, okay. Faith and Giselle, come up here. They are going to introduce themselves, and we are the three facilitators of the groups from the questions that we will state again.
Hi, I'm Giselle. I attend Centennial High School. I'm very social, and I want to see our society do better.
Hello, my name is Faith Kazadi. I go to Central High School. I love my friends and my family and expressing creativity. I aspire to be a very well-known filmmaker, to bring change to film and to make something that will be revolutionary for us all.
So now to split us into the sections, Faith will be leading the first question, which was, what are some expectations we have of parents, and what should parents do to their full capacity? Oh. Yeah, and then Giselle has group two and says, how can parents support your development consensually? And question three, I'm doing that one. What do you want parents and adults to know about your generation? And by splitting into these groups, we are going to dive deeper into healing intergenerational connections and closing the gap that time has caused.
I think we changed the questions that we're going to be doing in the groups. So actually, we're going to be splitting into two groups, and the first group is going to be talking about one question, and that question is, share a time where your actions have contradicted your values. And then the second group is going to be talking about, how do you apply consent in a relationship? So emphasizing intergenerational relationships.
Yeah, my bad. Yes. Oh, okay. Okay, I'm group one, Giselle is group two, and Faith is group three. So
you got numbers at the beginning, one, two, if you're group number